Sorry. Y'all are probably like, good Lord, Corinne, get your own shit together this morning. Okay. So we are going to talk today about hunger scale, and we're going to talk about awareness. Let me talk just a little bit about some of the things that I want to cover. I got a few notes. I had the coaches last night tell me a few things that they've been noticing. I have a couple things that I know that I've been noticing that I want to talk to all of you about when it comes to the hunger scale. Number one, we're not going to go into like what the hunger scale is and all that kind of stuff. You can go over to the Success Path over in pnptribe.com. If you go to your No BS Success Path lessons, it is in the first week, which is called Fresh Start, and you can hear more about the hunger scale. What I want to talk about today is some of the common things that you need to know about the hunger scale in terms of applying it and all that kind of good stuff. The first and like the very first one is it takes a while to get it. And a while isn't 3 days. A while is like 3 months. All right. A lot of you have this, like you're going to constantly, as you are listening to your body and stuff, guys, a lot of you are going to have this thought of, I should have this by now. Oh my God, I ate past my two. When is this going to be easier? It's not going to get easier. It's not supposed to. The problem is that you guys have been eating for a long time with no consciousness, no awareness. You're just shoveling it in, or you're eating because you feel bad, or like we're eating for a lot of reasons other than, oh my gosh, my body really could use some food right now. Like it's supposed to get food. It's supposed to get these things. And we're meant to eat deliberately. We were supposed to be eating to sustain our life. What's happened though, is as we've evolved and gotten convenience foods and stuff, we think we're supposed to be eating for entertainment. We think we're supposed to be eating while we're doing other things. We're supposed to be multitasking. We have all these other thoughts going on. The hunger scale is a practice. It is going to change, guys, based on all kinds of stuff. How much you're exercising. If you start exercising, you might notice you get a little hungrier, or you might notice you get less hungrier. But when you change your activity level, your hunger levels are going to adapt along with it. Your hormones will affect it. You know, there are certain times of the month when I'm on my period, guys, I don't have much of an appetite at all. When I come off my period, it's like I rebound. I have more of an appetite. That is just my body doing its normal leveling things out. I don't make either one mean it's good or bad. I'm just still listening. The smaller you get, you're going to notice your hunger scale changes. Once you get into maintenance, you're going to notice your hunger scale changes. You know, you'll start learning what it takes to eat to keep your weight at a stable weight. You'll also learn what to eat in order to get the scale to move. You may want to be like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to get to my -2. And because I want to lose a few pounds, I'm going to sit at my -2 for a little bit. Rather than eating the moment I hit at my -2, I'm going to allow my -2 to be there for an hour or two. Some of the other things about the hunger scale is that your hunger will come in waves. So for a lot of you, sometimes you'll eat and it'll be like suddenly you're at your two super fast. It's like, yeah, today is one of those days your body is saying, I don't need very much. Today is a day that your two gets felt fast. Some days you're going to notice that you'll be at a -2 and you won't get a chance to eat. And all of a sudden you're not hungry anymore. It's like your body was saying, oh, hey, we could use some food. Oh, wait, you didn't give me any. So now I'm going to utilize the calories that you have stored in your body, all those extra ones from all those overeats and stuff. I'm going to start eating on that. Now I will not require the stomach to send you a chemical to trigger it's time to eat. It's happening. So when you hit your -2, guys, sometimes what I want you guys to do is once you get comfortable being hungry. So here's like, let me just say it this way. A lot of you, when you're newer to it, or when you're starting, like, you know, for a lot of our tribe members, like you kind of get away from your hunger scale for a little bit and you're like, oh, okay, I really need to dial this back in. When you're first starting it, I prefer you to reach your -2 and then be like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and eat. Once you're comfortable feeling hunger, because a lot of you are so disconnected from ever being hungry that just beginning to feel hungry is like such a huge win. And I want you to know that you can feel hunger and have success with it. Then once you get past that hurdle, you're like, I'm going to practice sitting with my hunger for a little bit. I'm going to let that slight, just like, ooh, I might could use some food. Not like, oh my God, I'm dying. But that like, I could use some. Sit with it and see if it doesn't rebound up. A lot of us think that we go like -1, -2, -3, -4, -5. It's not like that. I want you to think of like hunger as waves. Same thing with like on the opposite end, but on the hungry side, you'll notice sometimes you'll get hungry and then you won't be hungry. And then it'll kind of ebb back down and then you won't be hungry again. And that is a beautiful thing because that means that every time you reach a -2 and you push past it, when you go to a 0, it means your body has decided to eat the extra calories that you're carrying around on your body. The other thing that I wanted to really address when it comes to the awareness is releasing the frustration that you're supposed to get it on some set timeline. The one thing I want you all to remember, and this is really important, that when you're dialing in your hunger scale, you are cutting out a lot of overeating. Before, I want you to think about what you were doing before. You were probably just overeating a lot. You were either mindlessly snacking, grabbing extras, always cleaning your plate. There were all these things you were doing in the overeating realm that aren't even what I would call we got to like dig down and figure out why this is happening. It's like the bullshit overeating. When you're practicing your hunger scale, like, I don't care if you go over a little bit. Most of you are still going to lose weight simply because that awareness level cuts out a lot of the BS stuff. It cuts out a lot of the extras, even if you're not doing it perfectly. So just the practice of doing the hunger scale allows you, whether you're doing it right or wrong, allows for a lot of losses. But you've got to be able to give yourself permission for it not to be a black and white thing. Like, I'm either doing my hunger scale or I'm off my hunger scale. I either ate to my two or I did it wrong. Like, and that's what most of you are doing. This is the feedback that I'm receiving from all the posts and stuff. It's like, I either stop at my two or I'm wrong. It's like, there's like 100 other ways that you could look at it, and it doesn't have to be that way. It could be like, I didn't stop at my two, but I did stop at my three and I learned what three was. Like, it's not that you did it wrong. It's like, so what did go right? I want you guys to really get into the practice of, as you are doing my program, stop assuming that what you did was wrong and immediately switch your mind to, all right, here's what happened. What went right first? Start training your brain to figure out how things can go right and what things are, like what is going right, so that you're not always finding fault with yourself. Because here's the deal. If you don't find what goes right first, I guarantee you, you'll just never do it anyway. If you get caught up on, I blew my two, I was emotionally drained, and I just ended up reacting, and blah, 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 I'll never lose weight, rah, 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 you're never going to get to the part where what went right. So always do what went right first. And let me just tell you, for most of you who are perfectionists, or you have a long history of being a pessimist about yourself, it will feel like ass to find what went right. It will feel uncomfortable. It will feel fake. It will not feel real. It will feel all kinds of things. And that is exactly why you have to do it. Because finding what went right shouldn't feel fake, shouldn't feel unreal, shouldn't feel like a waste of time. It's a vital part of just the process of evolving into something better. And the only way for it to feel natural and to feel right is to go through the part of doing it when you don't like it, when it feels fake and stuff, so that you can start seeing it works. And then you start getting evidence like, oh, shit. Like, maybe there's something to that. I'll keep trying that. And then you just start feeling better. And then it just becomes something that you do. All right. Let's see. The other thing about awareness that's coming up is a lot of you are going through, when we are in the first week, I want you to think about if you lived in a house and you'd just been throwing trash around the whole time in the dark. You didn't really know how dirty the house was. When you come into PNP and we start like talking about things, it's like somebody flipped on the light and it's like, oh, good Lord. No wonder I've been tripping when I walked across the room, and no wonder I've been stubbing my toe, and no wonder it was hard to find things, because now you're seeing the garbage. And in the beginning, guys, it always feels a little overwhelming before it gets better. But the good part of it is when you see what needs to be cleaned up, you know what your next steps are, but you've got to see what needs to be cleaned up first. The only reason, like, awareness is a really tricky stage. It's very required. And awareness just means, like, now you're going to find out all the reasons why you've been overeating and you haven't been losing weight and all these things, right? You're going to be like, that's a lot of stuff to work on. Your brain is going to want to go to, it's too much. You're so screwed up. How will you ever be able to figure all this stuff out? And that's normal. What I want you to tell yourself is it's normal to feel all of these things. It's normal for it to feel overwhelming and stuff, but it's just because I'm seeing it now. Whereas before, I was experiencing all the negative results of it, and I had no clue what I was supposed to be doing about it. Now I'm still experiencing the negative result of it. I can see what all needs to be fixed. I just need to start learning how to zero in on one thing at a time, because you're going to see a lot of things that need to be fixed, but they still can only be fixed one thing at a time. So just accepting that piece of it. And that's why the program is laid out the way it is. Every single week, I am building you like the foundation of this is what you need to know first for the next level stuff to make sense. And then we do that. And then the next level stuff will make more sense as you have these stronger foundations. There's always the incredible pull to, I just want to fix it all. It feels so bad and whatever. What I want you to do, the only reason why it feels bad is because you think it's wrong. And I want you to hang on to the fact that there's nothing wrong right now. There's nothing wrong. All of these things I'm finding are what I'm supposed to find right now in order to become the person I want to be. Most of you are going to say, like, all the things I'm finding wrong right now are showing me how broken I am. No, you're not broken. You're just now seeing like what we all end up seeing. There's a lot of our life that needs fixing at times. I would rather know what I need to fix and take it one thing at a time and get stronger than to just not do anything. I go through this stuff myself, guys. You know, like, oh, thank you. So, well, it's actually screwed up on the top. Let me fix that. You can tell I was drinking out of a bottle. Sorry. I just looked in the mirror and I was like, oh my God, my lipstick is so pretty, except it's jacked up all over my lip. Let me fix that. But one of the things I want you guys to see is that I go through the same things. Like, I routinely am going through things in my life where when I want to change who I am or I want to grow as a person or whatever, like, I make changes and things break. You know, like, certain areas, like, one of the things I'm working on personally right now is some stuff like relationship stuff with my husband. And in order for us to become a closer couple, guess what? We have to see what's missing right now. And that's never easy, but that's what allows you to like move forward. It's like, I don't make this like, oh my gosh, I've been such a terrible wife because I haven't been connected here and I haven't been doing this. I just go into, this is the stuff I need to know. Like, I need our system to break some so I know what to fix. What do I need to be working on? Just like the last couple of weeks, we've been very disconnected. Whenever I have one of these openings, like when I'm going to, you know, like we're going to have a new tribe, we've got a camp coming and everything, I always just go straight into my cave. I just start working. I like my whole family gets ignored. I've barely talked to anyone. And so I was looking back on it and I could either like, you know, like the times that Chris and I have argued in the last week, think that there's something really wrong with our marriage. Or I'm just like, these are the kind of things that we need to come up in our marriage. Because if we can start having these honest conversations and really hear each other and then come up with like what we're going to do moving forward, our marriage gets stronger. I don't sit around and think, oh my God, I've been such a shitty wife. Oh my gosh, we're never going to make it. I just hope to God we can, you know, hang on for another year. Like, but that's what we do in our diet life. We think that when we, you know, don't own our hunger scale or we eat off plan or something, we make it mean, oh my God, see, I just knew I could never lose weight, rather than thinking, that's exactly the kind of situations that happen to me all the time that I need to start finding out, you know, what do I need to work on? What is it do I really need in that moment? What am I already doing right? And what just needs to be refined? Putting your brain to work on that kind of stuff, guys, is everything. And that's one of the things that while you're in the life, you know, your lifetime here at PNP, I don't want to just teach you a food plan. Like, I want to teach you how to start thinking about life and how your outlook on things and your outlook on yourself and your outlook on your body and what you put in. Like, you're going to notice that we are a very different tribe. We're a very different weight loss program. I always, you know, tell people, like, yeah, people lose weight here, but the one thing that like totally keeps them is their mental weight that goes. Because I just really, the reason why most of us eat is because of all the mental weight we carry around. And when you have heavy mental weight, guys, your body will reflect it. And when you can drop your mental weight, your body will start reflecting it. You will want to take better care of yourself when you have taught your brain how to appreciate you. And it is a process. And I am not going to lie to you. Parts of that process will feel super uncomfortable. It won't feel real. It won't feel natural. It'll feel like that. Like, I love it when it feels like bullshit. The moment you think, oh my God, Corinne, like even thinking that and acting that way just feels like bullshit. And it's like, then that is exactly the one way I want you to run. Because if it, like, if you don't like the state you're living in now, then acting as if someone who's completely opposite is probably exactly where you need to be. You need to try that on for a little bit. All right, let's see what everybody's questions. Let me go to the main tribe first, see if you guys have any questions, just because yours is the easiest to scroll and your comments get lost. Let's see. Hey, Kay, one of our tribe members, she's, y'all, she's lost 39 pounds in 4 months. Way to go. Here's Elizabeth. All right, for all my baby tribe members, this is what you need to hear. Elizabeth Miller, she's in the main tribe. I've blown past my plus two about 1,000 times in the last 8 months, and I've learned from all of them and have lost 88 pounds. Don't make blowing past your two. Guys, if you come to me and you say, I'm overeating, and like, are you practicing your hunger scale? Well, no. Then yeah, we got an issue. But when you're in an active practice of learning your hunger scale and you're like, let's see, I am willing to overeat or mess it up or whatever at least 2,000 times, you're going to be like Elizabeth and you're going to have lost 88 pounds. She didn't lose 88 pounds because she's doing the hunger scale perfectly. She's lost 88 pounds because she started fucking paying attention to what she eats. The hunger scale forces you to start paying attention. My question to all of you is like, are you going to pay attention? Or are you going to get lost in the minutiae of beating yourself up? You know, the, like, I need something to be exactly like laid out for me and all that stuff. It's like, pay attention to what you eat. That's the spirit of the hunger scale law. It's hard to figure out what went right when the scale goes up. No, it's not, Cheryl. Lynn, you're saying it's hard. That's your thought about it. Just ask yourself, like, you know what? Here's what I want you to do, Cheryl Lynn. Every time the scale goes up, because guys, I'm going to tell all of you this. You better get really comfortable with the scale going up at some point. You will never lose your weight and have the scale go down every single week. Do not set yourself up for every time the scale goes up, throughout your weight loss that, oh my God, that has to be a bad day. And that means things are going wrong. And that means it's hard to find something that went right. It's like, so you are creating terribleness within your weight loss journey. Like, guys, it's really easy to experience success all the time. You know when I know that you're dedicated? Like when you're really committed? When you say, I gained weight this week, here's what I know I'm doing right so I can build upon it. And here are the things that are going to change based on what I'm already doing right. That's how you make progress. It is very hard to find progress for the next week if your brain immediately goes to, this isn't working. Your brain needs to go to, the only thing that I need to do is figure out what's working and build upon it. It is, I mean, you get to think about it any way you want. And if you know your brain's going to go to shit, then you need to practice what it's going to be like to get on the scale and tell your brain exactly where we're going. Take charge of your brain. You can do that. Has anybody ever told any of you, you get to decide where you take your brain? You also get to decide, like, if it sends in shit thoughts, you get to decide if you believe it and react to it. Or if you're like, but this isn't what we're thinking today. Like, I know I want to think it's hard, and I know I want to think everything's gone wrong, but that's not what we're thinking today because I'm so determined to lose my weight. The only option is to think about where we're going. That's what I did. I'm going to tell you, when I was like getting close to 200 and I kept bouncing up and down, I quickly realized the old me would beat myself up and have a cheeseburger. And I remember going, you can't, like, I remember literally almost saying it out loud, but in my brain, I might as well have been saying it just like this. Like, you can't afford to think that way. That's exactly what the old fat version of you would do. Like, we just can't do that anymore. And I would just tell myself, we just can't do that anymore. We are going to look forward to next week, and we are going to, this week, act like someone who's going to get on the scale next week and be like, boom, did it. Because what's the harm? Even if it doesn't boom next week, the worst that happened is I got to feel like a champ all week long. I got to act like somebody who wants to lose weight. I got to focus my brain on exactly where I wanted to go. And I got to practice believing that I was going to lose weight. And if the scale didn't tell me the next week, guess what? I got to practice one more week of doing that. I guarantee you, you live a life like practicing like the person you want to be and feeling and experiencing that person, you're going to lose your weight. You sit around and act like everything is so wrong and, you know, oh my gosh, I'm not allowed to believe whatever I want to believe. That's crap. You're the person that's like, if you sit there and you beat yourself up, you're saying, I'm going to spend my next week living like someone who doesn't think they can lose weight. I'm going to spend my next week living like someone who sees all the problems in front of them. Like, I want you to think about it. Most of us live from the fear version, and we wonder why it's so hard to lose weight. Because we are the ones doing it to ourselves. All this week, I waited until I was hungry before eating breakfast. Some days it was close to 10 before eating. Imagine that. I'm telling you. I feel I hide behind awareness. I can observe and learn and model, then I don't always take action, or I take small action. At what point do you call BS on yourself and just do it? The second that you think you need to call BS on yourself and just do it, am I just not extending myself enough grace, or am I pussyfooting around and taking it? Grace, like, here's what I want you to do, Stephanie. I want you to just to make a list. Here are the things I would be doing if I would get over my bullshit. And then I want you to put them on the calendar. I just want you to do them this week. If I wasn't going to be pussyfooting around anymore, here's the things I would do. If I was going to do the things that I know I could commit to, here's the things I would do. And I want to push myself just slightly out of my comfort zone. So here's the other things I will do. And then I want you to just calendar them. And I don't want you to indulge in thinking about it anymore. No more getting aware around it. Just be like, I know where my obstacles are. It's time to put the strategies in place. My strategies this week are. And you put them on your calendar and you just start doing them. And then when it comes up on it where you're just like, well, I don't know if I'm being too hard on myself, you just tell yourself, well, I'm going to still try anyway. Just go get in there and get it done. I'll know really quick if I'm being too hard on myself. Probably not. A lot of times, guys, whatever you, like, you feel, I think I might be too easy on myself. I always tell myself, if I think I might be, then I'm just going to go, like, you know what, I'm just going to skip that bullshit thought. I definitely am. Let's see. What do you personally tell yourself when the food tastes so good you don't want to stop when you reach your two? Amanda, what I usually do is when it tastes so good like that, I just tell myself, yeah, it does taste so good. And that's okay. Like, I just leave it at that. Honestly, I just do. Because a lot of times, and I'm just like, this is for me personally. Like, when I, typically this is what happens for me. I go to Burger Republic and I'm either having nachos or I'm having my wine. Y'all, I'm very boring. So all my examples are always the exact same foods. When I am at my two and I'm going to leave some behind, I usually just tell myself, it's okay that you want it. That's normal. And then I just sit there and be like, and it's okay that it's uncomfortable right now. And that's normal. Do you want to think about something else? And I usually will I usually have a lot of inner dialogue on this stuff. I'll just say, you know, you can sit here and you can think about it and stuff, but we're not going to feel bad about it. You can look at it and you can feel uncomfortable, but we're not going to make it mean this is too hard to handle. A lot of times I do a lot of work on myself about making it seem like telling myself, like, you can want it. It can be uncomfortable. It can be unnerving to sit with it. I can be a little restless around it, but I'm not going to make this mean it's too hard. And I'm not going to make this mean it's unfair. And like the things that I would normally do, I just tell myself, and here's the things we're not going to make it mean because they're not true. Like, no one is telling me I have to stop at my two. I'm telling myself I am. No one is depriving me of anything. Usually, no one gives a shit about what I'm eating. I think people do at times, but they really don't. I just, like, do a lot of work around that. How do you adequately use a hunger scale when we are doing intermittent fasting? You just wait until it's time to eat, and then you eat to plus two. That's it. If you're gonna like skip breakfast in the morning, sometimes you're gonna get hungrier than a negative two. Then you've just decided, like, I'm going, like, there's nothing says you can't go past a negative two. I'm just saying that that's where you, like, when you hit a negative two, that's where you start eating. But if you want to do intermittent fasting, then you're just gonna be like, well, you know, I might get to a negative four. It's okay because I don't eat till 10 or 11 o'clock. That's all it is. But you still only eat to a plus two. I portion out my food to see if I'm fine with less. Is that okay? Yeah, that's fine, Scarlett. In fact, I put on my thing that tonight I'm going to start eating my salads in a smaller bowl. I've been eating them in a hearty bowl. And one of the trades that I want to make is, for me personally, I would rather eat in a smaller bowl and just eat that than to have to sit there and be like, well, here I am getting close to my two. Like, I don't want to have to think so much about it. I'd rather just eat a smaller portion and maybe not even get to my plus two and then just be done so that there's no more negotiation, there's no more thinking and stuff. And I think that's fine too. I like to think about food, like, what is the easiest way to accomplish this? Like, what is going to be like where I'm not having to like spend so much time thinking? So I look for areas and stuff like that. I may do that for a few days and then go back to the other and then practice stopping the two. But I just mix it up all the time, guys. I'm always trying to figure out ways to either free up mental energy. Like right now, I'm just like super focused on y'all. I'm live all the time. I'm doing Zooms. I've got projects. I have to talk to my team every single week, like different. Like, I've got calls going on all the time. I just want the food life to be easy. And I don't mean going to McDonald's. Like, not only do I want it to be easy, but I want to be feeling my best. And the way for me to feel my best is to think about, how can I make all this easier for me? It's one of the reasons why, like, if y'all know, I've signed up for this half marathon. I'm speaking at the thing and all this other junk. I had a lot of drama around it because it sounded great in the beginning. I want to speak at the thing. That's not my problem. But I made it mean that I have to run it too. It's like, them chicks don't care if I'm running that race. Ain't none of them going to see me. And so I've been training for this half. Well, it's physically wearing me out. Like, I'm working like a mad person right now and all this other stuff. And so I got to thinking about it. It's like, you know, this is the season where I'm doing a camp and we've got new people and I want to be in the tribe and I want to like be given my 100% to my business. I want to be given 100% to you guys. I don't need to be physically taking my body to a huge push point on top of it. It's wearing me out. So I was like, something has to give. This is where we get into. In fact, if you are coming to camp, we have a whole lesson on quitting. We're going to talk about quitting. And one of the questions I have in there is like, when is it okay to quit? And when is it not okay to quit? And sometimes we do need to quit things, but we need to do them from a place where it makes sense and not because we think we can't handle it. For me, it was like, what do I want most? And is it worth continuing to do this at the sacrifice of these things that I want most? And it's like, no, it's not. So I'm dropping back to the 10K. And I'm just like the person that I was going to run with, I was like, she may be disappointed, but I'm still going to see her while I'm there. I still love her. I still enjoy her. I can still go there and speak like a boss. I can still take my family vacation. I just don't have to spend the next 8 weeks physically worn out to do so. And so that's one of the things I just want you guys thinking about all the time. You know, there's this myth in life that there's balance. There's no thing, like we just learned this last week. There's no thing called balance. There's the rhythm of life. And right now my rhythm is I want to be at peak performance for my tribe, not at peak performance for the rock and roll half. They could care less about me. And let me tell you, my peak performance there won't even get me in the top 50% of my age group. So it's like, really? Who am I trying to impress at this point? All right. How can I find the strength to stop eating after my plus two? I always want something sweet right after my meal. You don't need to find strength. You're going to need to find commitment. Strength comes after you've stopped doing it for a little bit and it's felt like mud. So what I would do is I would just be like, all right, today, no sweets. I know I'm going to want it, and I'm okay with that. I know that my mind will be occupied on wanting to go get it. I will have a lot of negotiation, and that's okay too. Like, set yourself up for the realistic way that it will be, but don't tell yourself it's going to be so hard. Like, I would just say, like, here's all the drama that will come up. That part will feel these ways, but the actual not doing it is not the hard part. But I'm totally going to do all of this because eventually what will happen, this how it always happens, is that if you've conditioned your tongue and your brain and your stomach to get something sweet after meals, guys, just because I've taught you, you don't need it and you're plus two doesn't mean that your stomach, your tongue, and your brain have gotten on board. It will still want that itch scratched. And so you have to get past the few days of the want stage. Every single time you want it and you don't do it, your brain will quit asking for it a little bit less until it becomes super tolerable. And first, it feels very intolerable. It's like, oh, that's all I'm thinking about. And you'll tell yourself, is this the way it's always going to be? No, it's not. Give it a couple days. Then you'll notice that it starts lessening. It starts lessening, and then it starts lessening even more. It takes about 21 days. I know they always say 21 days to form a habit, but it definitely takes about 21 days for you to see a remarkable improvement. But you get incremental improvement the entire time. You might already touched on this. I am just getting on, but in the Hunger Scale Sensations post the other day, I was reading that some others feel a negative 2 is a headache, nausea, irritability. To me, this is about a negative 5 or higher. Am I approaching the hunger scale incorrectly? No, you're fine. Everybody's is a little different. There are some people when they're first, guys, this is what I noticed. Some of you are going to have headaches and nausea and stuff in the beginning. That has less to do with your negative 2, and it has more to do with you're cleaning up stuff. A lot of you, when you first start practicing the hunger scale, you're giving yourself, when you're eating less, your body's getting less sugar, caffeine, a lot of like stuff that it has been jacking all your hormones, jacking all your chemicals, the alteration of your brain. When some of that stuff gets taken away, it feels like your hunger is miserable only because you're literally detoxing and you're like not getting what you've been relying on for false highs and false all kinds of stuff. That's why your negative 2 feels so terrible at first. It has less to do with it. That is your key. That's why I'm telling you guys, as you're doing the hunger scale, in the negative 2 sensation stuff, it changes. It's going to morph and change as you clean your food up over time, as you do lose weight, as you become more, like maybe you exercise a little more, whatever happens, the sensations will change. So for a lot of you who right now experience it as headaches and stuff, you're going to see that in a few weeks, it won't be that anymore. It'll be a whole nother set of sensations. But I don't want you guys going to where, like, you should not feel unnerved when you get hungry. Like, slight hunger is like, it's literally like a whisper. It's like your stomach going, hey, I think we're about ready. Like, it literally is like that. It shouldn't be like, bitch, eat something. Like, it should not be yelling and angry. That's why they call it hangry. It should be like, you know, when you get a chance, let's go ahead and start eating something. That's negative 2. It would be like if your kid needs something. You know, like when your kid first needs you, it's like, mama, mama. That's your stomach. It's like, mama. And then the longer you sit scrolling your phone or cooking, it's like, mama. And eventually they're like, mama, I'm talking to you. I need you to turn around. That's hangry. If your body is screaming mama at you, you've gone too long. It's more like when your kid just is like doing their homework and they're like, hey, mama. That's number 2. It should feel as, you know, passerby-ish as that. What highlighter do I use? I use Tarte. It's a 4-color palette. That's the highlighter. I use the, this is the It Cosmetics. That's, I use their Bye-Bye foundation. And then I use the Tarte through here is the really dark one. And then on this part, I use the lighter shades. Talk about off topic. My biggest problem still is nighttime eating. What is a small step I can take to stop? Just stopping or distracting myself is not an option anymore. I've tried and failed so many times. I need a different approach. Agnes, go to the website. I see both my coaches on here. Kathy and Betsy, this is in the main tribe. Will you guys go to, we have that content library where we have our own database of all the stuff. Find some nighttime eating coaching calls and post it into the tribe. I would just create a post and it just says some of the things that we talked about. Here's some additional, here's calls that you could do. Betsy, you could probably do this if you want. Just whoever has time today. Agnes, the biggest thing is there's several different ways to attack this problem. If just not doing it, one of the things, so yesterday I did a call where I talked about this concept. One of the reasons why, I don't want you just distracting yourself from doing it, but you need to figure out why in the moment when you're just stopping, what is it that's happening that is not allowing you to literally just sit there? Like, why are you eating to begin with? It's going to be a really big key piece of this. Figuring out, like, the reason why I'm eating is because I want to feel this emotion. Like, I would love to know, like, what is it that it's creating for you? Because what's happening is there's going to be a mismatch between the one that it's creating for you. And if we were to just sit there, why is that feeling not getting created to begin with? And why is, because once you kind of understand that, then what happens is that the next time you're just sitting there, you're going to have to really think about, this is what that feeling is supposed to be created by. And all this other stuff is me talking myself out of it, that for some reason this is so intolerable. So figuring out what thoughts you have, this is what I've been seeing. This is for my 4 o'clock eaters. Some of my 8 o'clock eaters do the same thing. You're wore out and stressed after the end of the day. You really just need to take a break. You're an overwhelmed from life. Like yesterday's caller was overwhelmed with, she's going to school, she's got kids, she's got a job, she's got, like, you know, several big rocks in her bucket, right? So when she comes home, she's eating because she needs, like, basically she wants relief from overwhelm, which means if you want relief from overwhelm, what you're really wanting is you're wanting to take a break. But overwhelm convinces you that you can't take a break because you have too much to do. So you end up just eating when you really need to sit. And you actually need to have the break. Like, you're giving yourself a break. You're just giving it in a very ineffective way. So you're getting the relief from the overwhelm, but then you're adding more overwhelm on top of it, because then the next day you're overwhelmed with the idea of, I can't lose weight, I'm not doing what I say I'm going to do, and all this other stuff. So you're actually, you continually turn up the volume of the overwhelm. All right. So all of that to say, you have to give yourself the break if that's what you're craving, and you sit there knowing that the first few times it feels really bad. It just feels bad because of the story you tell yourself. I have too much to do. You will literally need a break. And then when you take one, your brain will go into, I should be doing this. You shouldn't be sitting around. You don't have time for this, and all these other things. And that's what feels bad. It's not the actual food. The food is a way for you to shut those thoughts down, but you're still doing those things. You still have these things you need to do. All of that's happening. The food is not solving it. So it's like, when you kind of gain awareness around all of that, it makes it a lot easier to actually sit through that period of uncomfortableness. And I think that's the problem that most of you run into, is like, when I say, well, you're just not going to be able to eat. Like, the real solve is that. Y'all are like, but it's not doing it for me. I need something else. I need you to tell me, like, what's going to be my magic thought, or what's going to be my thing to make that part easy. It's like, that's the problem. That part's not going to be easy. But there's a whole level of how you get through it that you can learn that doesn't make it easy. It makes it make sense. When you're doing it, and you don't understand all these thoughts, and you don't understand all that stuff, you're confused. So then you want the food. And it's like, when you understand the purpose of that, and that it's not supposed to feel good and stuff, it makes it a lot easier to sit through it. It just doesn't make the process easy. I hope that makes sense. I feel like I'm used to getting hungry and not panicking anymore. So now I don't eat often or much, twice a day at 2 or 3, and again at 7 or 8. If I start eating at the slight hunger again, will it put me in maintenance? It depends. If you're still losing weight and what you're doing is working, I wouldn't change anything. If you start eating, the only way we know what will put you in maintenance is for you to just change what you're doing and see if it puts you in maintenance. Everybody's different. Guys, you guys think that maintenance is like one of these like weird things. Eventually your body just levels out. And if you want to be out of maintenance, you just have to shift something. That's really all it is. Like, the reason why there's no big books on maintenance and stuff is because I don't think they would sell. There's not a lot to it. You guys always think that maintenance is some kind of whole new animal, and it's so confusing, but it's maintenance and it's this and it's that. It's like, no, it's exactly what you're doing now with slight nuances at best. I mean, it's not that dramatic. So the only way for you to know is just going to be like, start eating at this like sign of hunger and see if you go into maintenance. If you go into maintenance, you know you got it dialed. If you don't, eat a little bit more. Then you'll know, like, because this is the thing. Your negative two and your plus two always changes. Whether you're at the very beginning or you're at the very end, if you're in maintenance or whatever, your data on your scale will kind of tell you, like, yeah, the signs and the way that you're interpreting your body, that's a maintenance thing. The signs and the stuff, the way you're interpreting in your body, that's a weight loss thing. That's really, because I want you guys to think about it. It's all an interpretation. That's why calorie counting doesn't work, because there is no interpretation. Like, I'm supposed to be able to lose weight on 1,700 calories or on 1,500 calories or whatever. And then when you don't, it's not an interpretation thing anymore. It's like, the math's not working. It's like, no, you're not listening to your body and letting your body drive the result. You're letting some guy who programmed an app drive your result. That guy doesn't know shit. He knows math. This is not necessarily going to be a math problem. There are certain things we can break it down into math, but there are certain things we can't break down into math. Like, we can't break down into math on the day that our body's going to need a little bit more food in order to burn about 2 pounds off the next week. Your body knows that. Your mathematician doesn't. All right, let's see what Baby Tribe's got going on over here. All right. Y'all had some questions. I'm going to, any questions that that already been asked, I'll just skip those. Is it better to eat at zero or negative one if I know it will be hours before I have another chance to eat? Jennifer, I think that's fine. Let me move this camera over so I can talk right to you guys now. I think that's fine. I do that very often. Like today, I have calls for, I have to be back on at 12 o'clock and I've got all kinds of things going on. I went ahead and ate my breakfast early today, because I won't eat again until 4 o'clock today. So I was like, all right, so first meal is going to be before I'm actually hungry today, just because I don't want to wait till four. I've got a lot to do and I don't want to do that work hungry. And that's just a choice. And so I ate what I had already planned. So you can do things like that. What I want you guys doing, I want you to think about the spirit of what I just talked about. Like, we have rules for things, like our general guidelines, right? But within that is you being in a place where you're starting to create the flexibility in the program to take you where you want to go. Not because you're afraid of what will happen, which is very different. Like, well, I'm afraid if I don't eat, then I will be this. It's like, no, I'm just going to make a decision and I'm going to honor it. Today, this is when I'm having my breakfast, so that I can be at peak performance and then boom, next meal, done. No drama, no being afraid, no reinforcing that somehow food is scary and decisions are scary and they need to be weighed. I need to think about this all day. We have to break the habit of obsessing over the food and over the stuff. We just need to get good at making the decisions and then we honor the decisions. I want you guys being like really good at honoring your choices instead of getting really good at stewing about everything. We practice plenty of stewing. Janelle, I can't read your comment. It says, having an issue with bedtime. I am overeating and stressing about going to bed. I'm not sure what all that's about. If you can type it in a shorter sentence, the see more button is still not working. It's football season. That means tailgating. I get you. I do my date night on date day, which is college football Saturday. Any ideas to control drinking? You plan them. Shelby, it's just like everything else. Your exception is going to be your drinks. It is not going to be hot dogs and nachos and all the tailgating things. If you're going to want to drink and lose weight, you're going to need to have a plan where this is my exception. This is how many drinks I get. I'm going to drink this much water, and the food is not a part of my exception plan. And that's it. Boom and done. Um, Is it okay to regularly stay at -3 or -4 if we can still get to a 2 and not go over? I mean, you can. It's just not needed. I don't understand why you would want to be getting. I mean, it's fine. But what I don't want you to do is to think that that's better than just going to a -2. It's just a choice. I want you to ask yourself, why are you choosing to go to -3 or -4? And really like your reason. And make sure your reason makes sense for long-term weight loss, not for short-term gains. Okay? What is your advice for having that internal dialogue when there are people there and it's distracting? Melissa, my internal dialogue is always with friends and family. When I'm at home, I don't have that much drama. If I'm by myself, I have none. Like all of the stuff I tell you guys that I think about, like I'm not sitting at a bar having wine and nachos by myself. I'm usually with couple friends or with my husband, with bar friends that we have and stuff. And I'm having all of that in the midst of it. Am I giving them 100% of my attention? Oh, no. I'm sitting there having my internal dialogue. But guys, if I'm stuffing my face and being like, oh, it's so good, I don't want to stop, I'm not giving them attention either. You know what I'm doing? I'm making my date day, I'm making my time with my husband mean these nachos are so good. You're like, if you're not going to pay attention, you might as well not pay attention and control what goes in your mouth. Guys, you'll have to get it in before, like, it really, whatever your question is, I'm so sorry, but Facebook has a glitch right now on their software. Like, Seymour is not working, so I can't see. If you write a bunch of stuff first and then you start your question, I can't see it. It needs to be, like, in that first little line. Just get real tight with it and I'll answer it. Am I sensing a trend in the tribe? I see a lot of members stressing about perfectionism and dwelling on mistakes. Oh, yeah. That's not a tribe thing. That's a world thing. There's no place in the world. Like, I coach women on all kinds of things. This is not just about our tribe. That's why there most books are written that talk about loving who you are, getting over perfection. I have got 5 books on my shelf right now that all have a core theme. We're not perfect. No matter how much we want to believe we are or that we will be one day or whatever, we just aren't. And all the stuff we have to learn around that. That's everything. That's everything. Listening to Finish right now. Yes, that's a good song about perfectionism. He's great. If you are new to the tribe, I did the author of Finish. We had a Zoom call with him. I think it was last month. You can watch it. If you just go into the tribe and you search the word John Acuff, J-O-N. You can see my interview with him live. It was so good. And it's only for the tribe members. Should I journal or thought download every time I go past the 2? I would. Congratulations, Kimberly. She's down 10 pounds in 2 weeks. Let's see. I don't see any more questions at the top. Okay, I'm going to go back down to the bottom and see what came in, and then we are out of here, guys. What do you think about setting an alert reminder to check in where you are on the hunger? So I think that's a great idea. I think that takes so much pressure off of just trying to remember it. I think any time that you can do any hacks that will like get you conscious. Like I want you to think about it. Like when you're setting alarms and stuff, that is a really good way of like making sure that you're brought back to consciousness. I'm going to talk about that a lot. You guys, we go through life very unconscious, like just doing like how often, like I do this all the time. I will need to go to my eye doctor and it's on the same route as going to Logan's school. And I'll get to thinking about things. And the next thing I know, I'm driving towards Logan's school and it's like, oh shit, I'm supposed to be going to the eye doctor. We live a life of like our brain is supposed to get us to where everything is very conscious and stuff. And so it's like you want to make sure that you, like, you want to make sure. So the brain's job is to make sure everything becomes very habitual and very easy to do. Otherwise, we would fry our brains out because they take so much energy, right? So the brain is always trying to figure out, what is it that you're routinely doing that I can make easy for you? If it's overeating, if it's dialing, like tuning out when you eat and stuff, it's going to put that into the habit part. You have to bring it back to the front, let it do that until it's like, oh, this must be the new habit. Retire the old one, insert new. Wanted to hear a response about Christmas anxiety. I did a call last night. Maybe that's what you're talking about. There was a call about that last night. And is there a way to replay? Yeah, the call will be up today. We always put all of the Zoom calls that we do and stuff, guys, they go up within 24 hours on the website. Every now and then there's a slight delay because Sadie takes a day off every week. So when Sadie's off, the calls don't go up. But she's usually off on Monday. But I did my call Wednesday? Yeah, last night. And all I just have to title them for her, but she's going to be uploading all the calls today. She'll upload them this afternoon because I have a noon call and this one, and that's all going into the replay. So if you, Debbie, you need to make sure you have the private member podcast so that the feed will refresh. You want to make sure you go in there and check it, and then you can just listen to it, or you can go to the website and you can push play and watch the video. When you say journal, you're not saying in your own journal, not in planner, correct? No, I journal in the journal. Like, I don't have it in here with me, but it's got thought download pages in the back. And thought download and journal is like the same thing, guys. Same word. Don't worry about mixing it up. But when I say journal, I mean, I'm writing and I write in there. Sometimes journaling and overeat feels daunting, like it'll take forever. So I avoid it. What to do? Yeah, it's supposed to take forever, Rachel. That's the point. Like, I want you to think about this. If every time you overate, then you had to journal and you had to write about it and you had to like figure it out and you had to like think, okay, well, what am I going to do next time? What went right this time? What went wrong? And then you had to process all of it. Then the next time you want to overeat, you'll think, do I really want this? This is the magic of journaling every one of them. Like in the main tribe, they do it all the time. I had a girl recently who didn't overeat. And she said, oh my God, Corinne, I just did not want to take the time to have to do a damn worksheet. So I said no to the Oreos. I'm like, that's the point. You don't want to make it to where an overeat is easy and escapable. You want to make it to where an overeat has a punishment on the backside that has nothing to do with beating yourself up. Most of you, what you do is you do the work on an overeat. I want you to think about this. I overeat, I feel like shit. I sit around and think about how I'm never going to get this. I build up fear and doubt. The next meal, I worry that I'm not going to be able to stay on plan. That's a whole lot of work with no payoff. So if you actually do your overeating worksheets, or you actually do journal and things like that, guys, if you're brand new to the tribe, there's an overeating worksheet that comes in a few weeks. We start getting down on overeating. But in the beginning, if you're just journaling about it and stuff, and you're just like, all right, I'm not going to beat myself up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break it down and learn from it. And every single time I overeat, the price for my overeat is time spent figuring it out. Eventually, your brain doesn't want to do that. It starts equating overeating not with joy and relief and escapism. It starts equating an overeat with work and digging deep and stuff like that. That's the switch you want to have happen. You want it to feel hard. You want it to be like one more thing that stops you from doing it. Like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. There's a lot of work involved. That requires you to be willing to sign up to end your overeating habit. Guys, if ADD, when it comes to journaling, is bullshit thoughts. Let me tell you why. So my son goes to a special school for kids who have ADD, who have autism, oppositional defiance disorder, you name it. As Logan says, you name the disorder, we got it. That's what they have there. Guess what they have kids with ADD and ADHD do? They make them sit and they make them write. Why? because their brains are wired to move fast. And when they have to write, they have to practice slowing their brain down. The only way for their brains to learn how to slow down over the long haul is to spend time where it's slowing down. And it feels very uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you, whenever they have the kids have to go write and stuff, there's usually tantrums thrown. You know, these are kids that do not have great emotional management. Their tantrums come out with throwing things and yelling and screaming. Your tantrum comes in like this. I ain't doing that. I got ADHD. Can't do my brain race too fast. That's your tantrum. That is exactly your tantrum. So if you want to get to where you have more like control over your brain, where you're actually able to start, like in order to learn how to slow your brain down, you have to actually start slowing your brain down some. I get it. My brain runs like a freight train. I often wonder if I would be diagnosed. Ask my team. I blow them out of the water all the time. My brain works so fast. Them bitches hate me some days. But it's like not an excuse. Can be. Doesn't have to be. What do you? Oh, I've already answered those. Okay. Yeah, Shawnee, if you don't want to take the meds, then take the pen. Get on it. This is one of many journals I own. So here's a journal. This one has its own thing. This was given to me by a tribe member named Trina. It's a beautiful sticker on the front that she did. I love all things graph paper. So she sent this to me in teal. This one is meeting notes. So this one has now been deemed. This is where all the PMP like brainstorming from our meetings goes. This journal was given to me by Spoonie. And Spoonie likes ones that lay nice and flat. We call this one poolside brilliance or barside brilliance. This is where when Spoonie and I are together, we talk about things that we think will be, oh, this be so good for the tribe and whatnot. So this one has its dedicated purpose. And then if I go to, sometimes when I go to meetings and stuff, like where like they're going to be giving me business ideas, I put all those notes in here so that when Spoonie and I need to have poolside or barside brilliance, we can reference quickly those notes. This is just for business. This is my Michael Hyatt Achieve 90-day, it's 90-day planner. I have the subscription now. I just went to this conference. This is where I plan my big three and my goals for the business and the goals for you. Like, let's just look at today. Today, I will be finishing all of my questions on Ask Corinne. Number two priority, Wicked Facebook Live, update the descriptions for the Zooms, and load. Number three, write all of my Monday motivations for the next month to go out. So that is journal number three. The fourth one is the PNP planner, which is all things Corinne's health. That's where I get in and I'm like, oh, food, oh, exercise. I plan all that stuff out there. It sounds like a lot. It's not. I only use this one when we have team meetings and O3s. This is just where I keep all team meetings and O3 stuff. This one, just with Spoonie. This one, every single day. There's no way that I'm going to lead you guys to weight loss excellence unless I know what the hell I need to get done each day, right? And then the last one, there's no way that I'm going to keep my weight off. And there's no way that I'm going to be able to teach you guys not only how to lose weight and to keep weight off unless I do my own work myself. I come up so much of what I teach you guys. It's because I've gone through the same fucking shit and I've wrote about it. I'm like, I should teach the tribe this. And that's how it gets done. All right. Yes, I'm a planner addict. Wow. I'm not alone in my journal addiction. No, you're not. All right, guys. I think that's it. All right. Y'all have a good one. Tomorrow I will not be here. Miss Betsy will be leading Q&A tomorrow at 9:00. She will be here for all of you. I will be, I'm on a call somewhere. So Miss Betsy takes over tomorrow with Q&A. I will be back on Sunday. I have a 2-hour coaching thing. So if you guys want to, if you want to get coached, you can check on the website and see if there's any openings. A lot of times that Sunday call, check like right before I go live, because sometimes what happens is people cancel at the last minute, something comes up or whatever problem they have, they got help in the tribe or something along those lines. So you might be able to get a spot if you want to. And that'll be it. And I'm also going to come live on Saturday morning. I don't know what time. It depends on, it's going to be spontaneous. But what I want to do is I want to talk to you guys about accountability, just the thoughts around accountability and all kinds of things like that. I think that's really good at where we're at right now, because you're starting to learn all the things and you're realizing you could use even more help within the tribe on how to stay accountable. And the Private Member Podcast, Amy Jackson, Betsy, give her the link. If you go to pnptribe.com, here, I'll tell you real quick exactly where it is. Do I have the website pulled up? Hang on, I've got to go get the website pulled up. Sorry. Normally, I have the website up at all times, but I didn't this morning. I was in Start Corinth. Well, I was doing that too with coffee. If you go to Training Replays, it's in your menu, Amy. And you scroll down, there's something that's called Download the Private Member Only Podcast. If you go there, it will give you all the instructions on how to download our Private Member Podcast. Guys, it's the best thing ever. Like every live, every Zoom call gets downloaded in there. All of your courses are also in there. There's three different feeds. There's the No BS Success Path has its own feed, so you can just listen to the lessons. So that's always so helpful for the new members, because it's like, oh, here's just everything I'm supposed to be listening to right here. Then you have your Tribe Live trainings. Your Tribe Live trainings are all of the Zoom calls, all of the Facebook Lives. So you'll never miss one. They're all put in there for you. So you can just listen to them whenever you want. Like people listen to them when they're driving. They listen to them when they're doing dishes, in the shower, when they're walking, when they're exercising. That's how you can just listen to the content. Guys, I'm going to tell you, the best way for all this to sink in is just let it sink in by listening to it. And then the other feed is all of our bonus courses. They have their own feed. So if you ever want to just listen to the lessons of like the Master Drinking Program or whatever, you can. But for my newbies, I want you to have the Success Path first. Those are the lessons you want to be listening to. And then the Private Member Podcast is where everything is for you that we put out. You'll never miss it. As long as you're subscribed and you're a member, you'll never miss anything, because it just automatically will download right to your phone. And so you have it. Okay? All right, guys. Have a good one. Bye, y'all. Go. All right, Tribe. I got to find you. You're
Hello,
still
everyone.
Bars
I've
got to
get the
computer.
Other tribe running. Ah. Sorry I'm late this morning.
Let's see. All right, main tribe. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.